Strangers and Aliens, Episode 65.
Strangers and Aliens, Summer Movie Series.
Iron Man 3. Hello, welcome to the first episode in the Strangers and Aliens Summer Movie Series. I'm Ben Avery. I'm here with...
Dr. Jace O'Neill, who's also here with...
Steve McDonald.
And we are here to talk about summer movies. We're going to do one of these for most of the big summer movies. For the most part, it'll be the three of us. Some of us won't be able to go to some of the movies, so we'll bring in some guest hosts to help out with those ones. But for the first one, we wanted to make sure we were all three there, all three here. We all went and saw this weekend a little movie. You might have heard of it called... Iron Man 3.
The Great Gatsby.
Iron Man. Yeah. Iron Man 3. And we are going to do this in such a way that if you have not seen the movie, don't worry. Just listen to the first half. It'll be spoiler free. Second half, we are going to spoil the iron out of this one. So are you guys ready? Oh,
man. Did you say spoil the iron?
I did.
What does that mean?
What?
What does that mean?
It means I wasn't going to say a naughty word.
It's a euphemism.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a euphemism for euphemism?
I think euphemism is a euphemism for something.
Okay, let's move on.
So, spoiler-free section, we are going to start out with grading this movie. Gentlemen, we are going to grade this movie A, B, C, D, or F. A being good, F being bad, just like in school. And I don't think it's any secret that I like this movie. I was on Facebook pretty much shouting from the rooftops how much I like this movie.
I was actually boycotting your page and trying. I almost deleted you from my friends for a moment because it kept showing up in my timeline. And I'm like, Pete, someone's going to say something. It's going to pop up and it's going to really tick me off. It really bugs me.
Okay, to my credit, whenever I said anything that was going to be a spoiler, I clearly marked it. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Don't read this.
Right.
Spoiler.
But you can't. When it pops up in your news feed, your eyes don't automatically recognize spoilers. It's happened to me with Survivor before. Someone says, there's a spoiler. Don't listen. And the one part that's a spoiler is right in my view line. So no matter what they said, that was the first thing I saw when it popped up.
Well, you don't have to worry about it now because you've seen it. And like I said, it's no secret that I liked it. I don't know if you guys liked it.
So what I think we should do is I'll say our grade at the same time.
Okay.
No. I want to hear your guys' grades first.
I think we should.
I wanted to hear you guys'
grades
first.
Time. All at the same time.
I want to know what I'm up against. I give it an A-.
So now we're not saying it at the same time.
No, we're not. I want to know what I'm up against. What do you guys? What do you say, Steve?
I had a numeric grade.
Well, that's not an A through F.
No, it's not.
So you have to translate it.
Well, the numeric grade...
C is average. F is complete failure. A is above, is far above average.
B is 80 to 89. And A is 90 to 100, with obviously 93 through 90 being A-.
Well, my numeric grade was 1 through 10.
But were you, Steve?
Yes.
Just do it. Just give us a grade, please.
It was like 7.8.
Okay, but is that 7.8 as in it's 75% good? Or are you grading? I mean, Steve, you know what we're doing, okay? This isn't rocket science.
7.87 around.
Steve,
around there. In that range. C plus.
C plus? Okay. Thanks. Jace?
You guys are hard.
Well, it was in the notes, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's like, you know, someone comes on and wants to, you know, put a little zing into the show. It's like you guys just
Steve,
shoot them right
in the
down.
Notes, I asked if you even wanted, I mean, I asked for changes. I asked for thoughts. I said, what do you want to do?
I thought it would be a nice surprise. I thought it would mix it up.
Yeah,
never mind.
Thanks.
It'll never happen again.
No, it didn't really mix things up. It just kind of wasted time. Jace?
Kumbaya, my lord.
But now we get a longer episode. People like longer episodes, Ben.
Okay.
Steve, go ahead, Jace.
I'm gonna go with
Are we at 15 minutes yet?
No. Yeah, I'm gonna go with a B minus.
Really?
Yeah.
That's higher than I thought you were gonna give it.
I'm gonna give B minus for various reasons. If I were to break it down for various, like, I thought it was fun, I would give it a higher grade. As far as quality of a movie, I'd give it like a C minus. Give it when it, like, some of the writing is uneven for me, so I'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, but, yeah.
As far as the acting, I thought that was higher, but I'd have to say B minus would be what I would bring it out to be.
Okay, well, what did you guys expect when you were going into it? Were you expecting it to be as good as you ended up getting?
What I expected was better than the second one. It was.
Okay.
But the second one to me was like a C minus. So a C plus is, you know, it's better, but at the same time, you're sort of like.
My parents wouldn't have cared.
Were you trying? Yeah. You know, a B minus would have been better than a C minus, but it was more of a C plus.
I really had no expectations. I mean, I figured it would have to be better than the second one because, in my opinion, the second one was just not very good. We keep relating it to a rock concert, like the first one was just a fun rock concert.
Yeah.
The second one was like a cheap cover band rock concert.
or like the 25th anniversary reunion where they charged $250 for the bleacher seats.
So, you know, I was going to say that if the second one was kind of a cheap cover band, the third one, in my opinion, was the original coming back after 25 years and doing a decent record, but just not as good as the heyday.
Okay. Right, decent record.
Okay.
But, you know.
How does the Avengers fit into that that metaphor then?
Well, no, the Avengers was the 24-hour... marathon that had every ace celebrity and just kicked it out of the park. I mean, Avengers, yeah, in my mind, is arguably one of the top five comic book movies of all time, and that's tough for me to say because I love my top five.
All right. And I went in expecting hardly anything because I'm thinking, how could it be anywhere close to the Avengers, right? I mean, right. We came off the Avengers into this.
Yeah, I never had any expectation to. I only looked at Iron Man through Avenger or through Iron Man eyes. I didn't even look at it through the lens of Avengers.
Well, my thinking was, you had Avengers. There's no way they're going to come close to it. So I just went in with hardly any expectations at all, and was pretty blown away because I had no expectations. It was a new director. It was. You know, there wasn't tied in,
which I think might be part of my issues with the new director. I'm not sure.
That's possible. I mean, I think a lot of what I liked about it was coming from the new director, but I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun, and I thought that it felt to me like it was an action movie that had some depth. It wasn't like a movie trying to have depth, and also having action.
That's where I would disagree, because the one thing, the knock that I would never put the first Iron Man in one of my favorites, even though I really, really enjoyed it, was because, like I said, it was a fun rock concert, not a lot of depth. This one, I felt like they were trying to bring about depth and didn't really reach that. There were moments where it had it, but it really was kind of uneven.
Well, I felt like it had the moments, but it was like, well, this is an action movie, but we're going to put those moments in there. And it had a vibe. It had an 80s action movie vibe to me. It really did. We're not going to go into spoilers, but there's an action set piece in the middle that just felt like it was taken out of like a,
yeah,
you know, Commando or something like that. It just felt like an 80s action movie. So,
yeah.
Okay. So vaguely then, we're not going to get into specific details here yet, but how does it stack up against other movies in the Marvel franchise then? You've got Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and Avengers.
Avengers, obviously, number one.
Right,
towering over, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it comes close to Captain America.
Okay.
Thor, you know, I want to like Thor more than I do, because it has so much going for it, so much promise, so many cool, interesting things, and it's just like so slightly not there. So, you know, I'd have to say probably equal to Thor, and probably not as good as Hulk.
Equal to Thor and not as good as Hulk?
Better than Hulk. Hulk not as good as it.
Okay.
My bad.
I would say Avengers is obviously number one.
Yeah.
And then I would probably put the original Iron Man number two, because it was the one that kind of got this started. And I just remember being pleasantly surprised when it came out. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I saw the trailer of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, as Tony Stark, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And I really enjoyed it. I think Captain America and Thor would probably be tied, because I really liked them both, and I liked them for different reasons. So it'd be hard for me to. I'd have to watch them both back to back to be able to split hairs on which one was better than the other. And I would put this one after those two, and then I would put Hulk and then Iron Man 2.
So it's still pretty low on your list then.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they've made very good movies, in my opinion. They've done a good job with the adventure franchise.
Yeah. I don't know where I would actually put it, but I'd put it in the upper half, I think. Iron Man 3, to me, I think it was almost better than the first Iron Man.
Wow.
I really do. And in some ways, I'm more excited about watching this movie than I am about watching Avengers again. And I don't know if that's just because
I would be surprised, Ben. I would be really surprised if you were to, when you go to watch these back again,
uh-huh.
And I would be surprised if you came back with that same opinion.
I am curious too, how I would come back to it. I'll tell you what it did for me though, is this movie is the fourth Tony Stark movie that we've gotten.
Yeah.
And it feels like the end of a character arc to me.
Yeah.
It feels like they are wrapping up a character arc and ready to move on into another character arc, you know, with him. He's obviously not gone, because he's going to be in Avengers 2, you know. Mm-hmm. But
Do they have that? From my understanding, that they're having issues with negotiations, and they even have a backup to replace him if that's the case.
Well, that might be true, okay? If that is true, I'm okay with it because of this movie. But if it's not true, I mean, I don't think it is. There's always going to be enough money. I mean, this movie was the second highest opening weekend ever, second to the Avengers. Okay, they're going to give Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. the money he wants. For
I think it's more of an actor if he chooses not to. I think it would be more of not being typecast, which I don't think he would be, but you know, it's kind of, you know, like Matt Damon has kind of struggled after the Bourne movies. It's been hard for him after the Bourne to find something that would fit him and that does well successfully.
Yeah. Or Christopher Reeve. I mean, he was one who,
yeah,
I mean, he really felt typecast for a little while there, and then he kind of embraced it.
I think the difference between those two is Robert Downey Jr. Well, Robert Downey Jr. and Matt Damon both have a lot more body of work before that, more so than Christopher Reeve did.
All right, last question then. Do you recommend Iron Man 3? And if you do, or I guess even if you wouldn't recommend it necessarily, but who would you recommend it to and who do you not recommend it to? Who do you think is going to like this and who do you think is not going to?
I would recommend it for my college students. I think this movie more than more of the other movies, I would probably not recommend to kids, because there's a lot more content in it than I remember being in any of the other Avenger films. There's a lot more language in it than I remember.
It felt par for the course with the other Iron Man movies, though. And now I'm not sure about language, but as far as like the double entendres and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, if I remember, I mean, it's been a while, but I remember coming away from most of the Avenger movies, and I'm like, wow, there was no language in that. None. Zero. Zip.
I just remember coming away from Iron Man and Iron Man 2, both, and saying, my son will be 13 or higher before he sees it, just because of, and mainly it's the sexual content.
Yeah. Luckily, it's nothing, you know, super overt. But at the same time, my son's still at the age where he'll turn his head away. He doesn't like the kissy parts, you know, stuff like that. But
Thor and Captain America and even Hulk, I mean, they really, they had that more toned down.
Yeah.
So, and Avengers, too. So, okay, Steve, do you recommend it? Who do you recommend it to?
I would recommend it to people who like Iron Man movies. You know, if you're following the whole franchise and you just want to be a completist about it, you know, there's not a lot of you know, real depth in there outside of something I want to get into in the next segment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be a spoiler, but something that I found really cool, really refreshing, and something that you hadn't seen before, really, in other superhero movies. But I don't want to ruin it right here, just in case someone doesn't want that information going into seeing it the first time. But other than that, you know, it really wasn't fantastic.
Fantastic
Four.
That's true. I recommend it to people who like fun movies and like action movies and that kind of thing. There is a little bit of depth to it. There is some themes going on there, and they have some plot twists, and, you know, they try and get you to think a little bit, you know, about some stuff. But overall, yeah, if you liked Iron Man and Iron Man 2, if you tolerated that, which I know some people just do not like Iron Man 2. But if you like the first Iron Man, you're going to like this one. For sure. So I think it's time for us to now start spoiling this movie, though. So if you have not seen Iron Man 3, you need to turn off your pod thing, whatever it is you're listening to podcasts on. Turn it off. Go watch the movie, because I think you enjoy it. And then come back, because we're going to spoil this.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. And I am going to turn on... I'm going to turn off the seals, and I'm going to turn on the spoiler buffer. You heard the spoiler alert. You heard Dr. Jace doing the dolphin noise. You heard the spoiler buffer music. If you're still listening, you've seen this movie, or you don't care about spoilers, because we are now going to spoil this. Gentlemen.
Okay. Just want to make it clear, the dying seals was Steve.
It was?
Yeah.
Maybe I should have known that. Okay, so. Let's spoil this thing. Guys, what did you really enjoy about this movie? What was good about this?
What I really thought was refreshing, and something that you don't see, and I'm really glad that they dug into it, is the fact that here's a guy who invented a suit of armor and then met someone who calls himself a god, and then another guy who calls himself a god, and then, you know, he met someone who had been cryogenically suspended in ice for 50 years, and he is, you know, he's been in outer space and he's seen aliens, and all of a sudden he's having trouble sleeping, and you think to yourself, I think I'd have trouble sleeping too if I was just confronted with all that stuff.
I agree, Steve, 100% that you would have trouble sleeping. No, I agree 100%. I love that they did that. This movie, yeah, it is a natural progression from the Avengers. Mm-hmm. I really feel that way.
I thought that was interesting as well. Although a lot of people were upset who haven't seen Avengers because they didn't know what was going on. What in the world happened in New York is what I kept hearing. So I would say that I really liked the premise, where I thought this was going, where I really liked the concept. And I agree with that extra. I liked that little extra depth of exploring kind of that post-traumatic stress almost of what he had been through.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that. I mean, like I said, this is the last chapter in a story arc for Tony Stark. And the Avengers is kind of the inciting incident that causes him to really start to change. You know, and after Iron Man 2, he's going to commit to Pepper. Okay. He's been with her for a long time. He's finally admitting to having feelings for her and that kind of thing. But after Avengers, he has to admit he is not the greatest. There are things that are more powerful than him. There are things that he can't handle, even with his armor. And the other thing I love about this movie, he says he's sorry to different people, not just Pepper. To that kid, he says he's sorry. Yeah. Now, he then turns around and makes a smart aleck comment, too. But this is a different Tony Stark in this movie. And that's something I really, really liked about it, too, was just watching his character change. And how often does that really happen in a trilogy or a quadrilogy or whatever you want to call it? Mm-hmm. You know, Ripley in the Alien movies, it's a different character because it's a different character in the fourth movie. Superman, he doesn't really change through his movies because he's Superman. He's the greatest in the beginning and he's the greatest at the end. This is a different Tony Stark. I really like that about this movie. Dr. Jace, how about you? Anything else that you really liked about the movie?
I thought there was good humorous moments. I thought the quips, as usual, were really funny. One of my favorite moments was when he was messing with the boy and he goes, you know, you're playing me, aren't you? He's like, you know how I know that? Because we're connected or something like that.
And, well, and the kid had just used that to try and play him. We're connected.
Yeah,
the kid was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a great kid.
It was, but the more frustrating thing was that his relationship felt kind of, it didn't, like so many different parts in the movie, great concept was not executed well because it felt uneven. Like all of a sudden he just leaves the kid. Oh, what happens to the bully that was messing with him? You know, I kept expecting Iron Man to,
The bully doesn't come back, but the device that he was supposed to use on the bully came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it was just that it was a nice thread. I just don't think it was done well. Not all the way, at least.
I think one problem this movie definitely had was transition. You know, when he goes from one place to the next, it isn't always the most logical. when his armor goes up and is programmed to go to that town, so he ends up at that town. Okay, that shouldn't have happened that way. That just, oh, well, we have to get him to that town. How will we do that? Oh, his armor will malfunction and take him there anyway. And then he just walks into someone's garage. You know, that just happens to have the kid who happens to have a newspaper, because he has a newspaper route, which he doesn't go on, but he happens to have, he has the bag of newspapers, so he can just happen to show Tony that he's dead. You know?
Right. And, yeah. It just happens to be that day that they report it.
Yeah, and there were some other problems with time as far as trying to figure out, well, how much time has passed? Is this all still one night, or is this the next night? And I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, the whole going to the small town seemed kind of out of nowhere, and then... do you guys remember? I can't remember. How did they find out that he was in that small town? Was it? Did they trace his call? Or I don't remember.
No, they were there. He was going there to investigate the bomb that wasn't reported as one of the Mandarin's bombs.
Right.
And so he was there for that reason. They were there for the same reason. Contacted the lady that he met at the bar, separate from him.
I can understand that with the female. But the bald-headed guy, this a couple scenes before, his boss told him to find Iron Man. So what in the world is he doing in the small town?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So to me, there's all these little weird things that just did not make sense.
Yeah, I felt like part of it might have been on the cutting room floor, And part of it was just really whoever was editing this movie or directing Shane Black. I think they were just having trouble with these transitions. How, we have to get him from here to here. How do we get him there? Oh, how about this? And it happened later, too.
I wonder if Favreau, how do you pronounce his name? I love him because he's been.
I think you're right.
Favreau, I mean, I actually like him as an actor. I think he's fun. But he, you know, some of my favorite moments came from him. Like his, was it Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's his idea. I mean, a lot of the best threads were from him. And so when I look at continuity, you know, the first thing I think of is script writing, but it's also the director's job to make it make sense.
And yeah, so, and the editors.
Yeah, but the director usually has, I mean, depends on who the director is, who has the final say.
If
it's Favreau, he'll likely have the final say on the cuts.
There were some transition problems, definitely. But we're talking about things we liked. So how about the Mandarin?
Did not like it.
You didn't?
Really?
No.
I thought it was hilariously funny.
No. I thought it was funny. I thought it was completely predictable. I saw that coming probably the second time I saw his commercial come up on the, you know, challenging the president. I thought it was completely obvious, and I thought they made it completely clear when Guy Pierce, he's getting the money, and then he's like, oh, the master will shoot you in the head. And then all of a sudden you see the lyrics on the teleprompter, and you see – I'm like, this guy is an actor. This guy is – he is the figurehead. He is not the leader.
Well, I did not pick that up. No, and so when it happened, I was delighted. I loved it.
There was a lot of predictable stuff in this movie. I saw so many things coming. With that one, I think I was hoping – and I was pleasantly surprised to the contrary, because it ended up, you know, suitably fine the other way. But I was hoping it was going to be more of a study in, you know, a Bin Laden type, character. And instead it was, you know, just the complete setup. So it was interesting.
I like the Mandarin. The projection was, I'm like, ooh, this is an interesting, the teacher, I'm going to teach America. That was a bad guy that I was interested to see more about. And then it became, to me, I sit there and go, oh, this is so obvious. They're trying to go for a Dark Knight Rises thing where you think this is the bad guy, but then the really one, the one that's really pulling the strings is the henchman. And I saw that from very, very early on. I'm sitting there going, they're trying to pull Dark Knight Rises here.
Well, and I didn't. And so when it happened, I was even surprised that it actually was. Like, I thought when he comes out of the bathroom and he's like, oh my gosh. And then he's, oh, I'm an actor. I'm thinking, when's he going to turn this around? You know, when is he going to turn around? It turns out he's actually pretending to be an actor.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that to happen, and then it never did. And I'm just, this is great. I liked it, though, because in Dark Knight Rises, it wasn't as satisfying. With this, it was just kind of, okay, yeah, Guy Pearce, he's our guy. And we've been with him since the beginning of this movie. It makes sense that he would be.
Well, that's why it was so obvious. And I would say that in neither case were they satisfying. I had the same – I think that – Bane was way better of a bad guy than the female, whatever her name was. And I think that the Mandarin was way better of a bad guy than the cheesy Guy Pierce, oh, I'm bitter and upset, just like Jim Carrey in Batman Forever.
Yeah.
You know, I just, that's exactly what, you know, even his long hair and glasses look the same.
Yeah, that's funny. Jim Carrey.
And so I just kind of like, I've seen this before. To me, it was. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, he did a phenomenal job acting it. I mean, when he came out and says, don't go in there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then the girls have to go in there, and they're like, oh, I mean, that was hilarious. I mean, and then he's like, oh, I'm just an actor. No, they gave me more drugs. I mean, that was funny. It was funny, but I thought it was predictable. And from that moment on, the movie took a nosedive for me, because all of a sudden I thought that finally Iron Man has a bad guy that really can match up against him.
I think he still did, though, don't you?
No, I didn't think Guy Pearce. I like the fire guys as kind of like the henchman guys, but I didn't think Guy Pearce was near the real threatening bad guy. He was physically threatening, but he was not was not satisfying.
See, here's what I liked about Guy Pearce or Killian or whatever his name was. The thing I really liked about him was he was kind of the opposite of Tony Stark. In the beginning of the movie, Tony Stark is on he's on his high horse. It's pre Iron Man 1, and he is not a good person at all, and he treats people badly. And then he's talking about, we create our own demons, which is an interesting theme we can talk about maybe later. But Iron Man, or Tony Stark's trajectory from 1999, that first scene, to the end of this movie, he is becoming a better person. And he is striving to become a better person throughout that time. Meanwhile, Killian, he ends up becoming a worse person. He's a trusting man at the beginning with enthusiasm. And at the end, he has gone the opposite of Tony Stark and is on this opposite trajectory. And so those two characters, the other thing that you have there is Iron Man, his mask, Tony Stark's mask is Iron Man, and Killian's mask is the Mandarin. He's behind the Mandarin. That is his puppet. That is his armor. And the
puppet was way more satisfying as a bad guy than he is. I was very disappointed from that point. Now, the moment... The Ben Kingsley moment was funny, but it was less of a threat. The bad guy was less of a threat because your good guy is only good as your bad guy, and I felt like the bad guy took a big step down.
I don't though, because he was threatening still. He was going to harm Tony, and he did harm Pepper. He hurt her bad,
which was another stupid thing when she falls. I mean, obviously, I'm glad they didn't show this, but. Now she falls 300-400 feet into the fire.
Right.
All right. Already not wearing a lot of clothes, and then all of a sudden she comes out of the fire, and all the clothes are still there. She's, there's nothing wrong with her. It was just stupid. It was really, really stupid.
Well, I thought it was weird when the I forget what her name was, but the woman that was posing as an agent is fighting Tony, and she goes through fire and her clothes are perfectly fine. And I'm saying to myself, oh, wait a minute. The AIM agent's powers are heat based or have, this heat element to it. Obviously, they're not going to be putting on clothes and saying, oh, man, I'm going to have to, keep 6 or 7 different pairs of clothes.
It's unstable molecules.
It's something like that. So I didn't have a problem with it after that. And then, when you saw Pepper, I figure, well, they probably put this stuff on her. Dressed her to take the whatever, drugs or whatever to make her into what she became. But yeah, I mean, it was the type of thing where as soon as I saw her fall, I was like, all right, well, she's coming back with superpowers. It was just really predictable.
Well, I felt very similar to this as I did to Spider-Man 3 in that, there was way too many storylines, and they didn't do them all well. Like, his best friend Buddy gets hurt in the beginning, and then all of a sudden we don't see him until the end again. That was silly. That was not done.
That was an inciting incident, though. That was meant to put Tony on the warpath.
Right, but then it was the same thing with all the other characters. The boy, they bring him in as kind of this good, warm-hearted thing, and then that kind of was not satisfied. And then there was just too many characters. And they weren't sad. I felt like the same way. They packed too much in. And another thing that I would relate to the same issue as Spider-Man 3 is that they kept on coming up with ways that didn't make sense why he could run around without his mask on. I mean, come on. All of a sudden, you're telling me you're going to go fight these fire guys with no armor when you know your armor is going to be there shortly? I mean, it doesn't make any kind of sense. And then all of a sudden, he's like, changing from one suit to the next, and I'm sitting there going, they are creating ways so his face can be seen, and it's just as dumb as it was in Spider-Man 3.
I disagree, because I think that one of the themes is about him getting rid of his mask. I think one of the themes is about him going and not having his armor.
Yeah, but that
doesn't, being able to be a man without the iron.
Yeah, but if you're gonna go fight fire people, you have to have your mask on. I mean, that's just. I mean, I don't care what it just doesn't. It, to me, as a movie making thing, it just was. Oh, we want to show his face because he's the moneymaker.
I really felt like it was part of the theme.
One thing that I don't know if everybody saw the trailers, but in one trailer, at least one trailer, it showed, you know, all the Iron Man you know, uniforms, all the armors coming at once and appearing at this place. And of course, it's a trailer. You have no idea where it is in the film. And then you're watching the film, and this hasn't happened. This isn't happening. This isn't happening. It isn't happening. And then at the very end, he sends out the little message, and the circle thing opens up, and all the armors come out. And I was like, why did they show that in the trailer if it just makes it so anticlimactic? You're sort of waiting for it to happen, and when it does, it just happens. I was like,
it doesn't just happen. He's waiting for the armor to be available.
No, I know. I mean, in the context of the film, it works. But the thing is, why do they put it in the trailer? And just anticipating it happening.
See,
and
I
then
don't
when
like
it does
that
happens.
I don't like it for a different reason. First of all, I hate it when they show something in the trailer that's not in the movie. When he goes, "Oh, backup's your department," and you see he never says that in the film. I don't like it because I remember all those different segments in the commercial, so I know it's happening. So all of a sudden, I'm halfway through the film, everything's kind of destroyed. Well, I know because of the trailer that all these things are going to happen, so I can't stand it when they kind of ruin. I mean, that's the big climax at the end of the film. So they show that part, and they, because you know they're all going to show up. So you see all these suits blown up. Oh, it's so hopeless because they're all gone. Well, no, they're not, because you know there's 25 more somewhere else.
Well, let's we're out of time, basically. So let's kind of wrap this up. I've got one more question for you. What did you think of the ending? The thematic ending and the character arc ending, and then the literal ending as far as he destroys all the armor and then drives off into the sunset with a trailer.
I honestly thought it was cheesy. Well, no matter what happens, I am Iron Man. I kept thinking some big revelation. I didn't think it was all that. I thought the premise had so much more potential, and that it kind of ended with the whimper of him driving away.
Steve?
One of the things I really didn't like was, why would you make a movie about a superhero and his girlfriend who's not a superhero, and then at the end give the girlfriend superpowers so she can save him, and then have a way that the superpowers could just be taken away?
Yeah,
it's just like like a superpower pill that wears off in an hour or something.
No, but they set that up in the first scene of the movie, where he was fixing the problems with the chemical formula.
Why not just have her deal with it, or at least show it, have some progression for the character with the powers and dealing with it a little bit, and oh no, what happens if I explode and all this stuff, instead of I just had the doctors take care of it, and while they were at it, they took out my heart finally and just put a new one in there and stuff. And it was just like a glossing over of these major things that had so much potential.
Exactly, that is my biggest issue.
But that's not what the movie was about.
No, it's not. But the thing is, it could have informed the movie better. But it was just throwaway stuff at the end.
That little thing right there, where they take the heart and they change, and they take the heart out and they change it. That absolutely is a vital part. Had they foreshadowed that being part of the conflict, where Pepper is like, "Me or this stuff? We have the technology. You can be healed. You have to choose what you want to do," and it adds a whole another level of depth when he decides, you know what, I'm going to make this change. Because what I'm thinking is, wait a minute, they can take out the shrapnel from his heart? Why didn't he do this like 2 or 3 years ago? Why just now? So I think that adding
But I think
that
he was saying the same thing. He was actually saying, I could have done this a while ago. Why didn't I? It's because I was afraid to leave my shell.
Right, but that's where you add the conflict in, where Pepper in a relationship, Pepper's like, why don't you do that? All you have to do is have in one of their arguments to add that in there. And then at the end, when he makes that decision, it's not just that it felt like a throwaway decision. I agree with Steve. I felt like it was really shoddy writing, that this is where foreshadowing class would have really helped.
Well, I liked the ending. I liked it a lot. I felt like I was seeing the end of the character, like I said, where he is deciding, you know what? I am Iron Man. I can be Iron Man. I don't need my armor, though. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be worried about leaving my shell. I like the way he called it a cocoon. And basically, when he drives off, that's a new beginning for him. He's starting over, and he's taking those, burnout robots with him so he can start over fresh, start over new, be a new guy. So that's what I got out of it. I think I'm like the only person who got that out of it, because I've not talked to anyone who's.
No, I saw that. I just didn't think. I liked the theme. I liked kind of like the takeaway. The problem was, I just don't think it was done well. That's the issue. It's not the themes, it's the execution that I didn't really care for. Because the potential was, where in Avengers, I felt like you had all these characters, and yet they all had their little character arcs. You had all these different things going on, but it all made sense. This one, I felt like it had the same type of potential with all the stuff, and it just, you needed a Joss Whedon or somebody who could tie the loose ends together. And I just don't think, I felt like this movie was uneven for that reason.
Okay.
And I think they lost the sense of the whole beginning of the movie, where he's dealing with, the aliens and the godlike beings and all this stuff, and didn't really get to the heart of that and resolve it. I didn't get a good resolution on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I did. That was the kid. That was the kid on the phone with him saying, look, you're a mechanic. Build.
Yeah, okay, build. But the thing is, that still doesn't address, okay, build what? There are aliens out there. I can't, there's people who use magic. I can't build magic.
No, I think the point is, don't quit your life just because the world is bigger than you. He's coming to terms with the fact that he is not the greatest. He's not the guy at the beginning of Iron Man 1 who can just, put out his arms and there's the explosion behind him and all that kind of thing. His facade has been torn away from him. He's scared. And this is the kid saying, don't be scared. Just build. Go ahead. Live your life. Live. Don't freak out every time someone mentions New York.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good resolution.
I don't either. I agree with you, Steve, that you had the two big conflicts. The conflict with, he's not the greatest, and the post-traumatic stress of, him basically almost dying and all that stuff happening. So you have these three different things. You have his conflict with Pepper, with her or this, and putting her in danger. You have that conflict, and then you have the conflict of the post-traumatic stress, and then you have the conflict of he's not the greatest. The problem is that I don't think those are all good things, and they have potential for depth. I don't think any of them were really effectively tied up at the end.
All right. Well, let me ask you this last question, and then we'll do a quick final word if you feel like you have one. Did you not feel like that whole storming the mansion was from just ripped out of an 80s movie, 80s action movie?
Yeah.
It's totally like,
where he's got the oven glove and the,
yeah, and he's, you know, like all this, jumping the wall, they're hiding behind the walls and
exhibit A of Spider-Man 3. How can we show his face?
And Rhodey, and this is something Daniel Butcher brought up. Rhodey's running around in a polo shirt and khakis. He was in War Machine or Iron Patriot. He comes out of it, he's in a polo shirt and khakis. Like, yeah, he's ready just, for some good time on the deck.
He was going down to Cabo.
Oh, man. Daniel Butcher, he could not get over that. It's a good point, too. I mean, it doesn't make sense that he'd be wearing that. That must have been a deleted scene. Either it's a deleted scene or a really bad costume choice. Because, Yeah, he should have been, you know, in fatigues or something. But okay, so we're out of time. We were gonna we should have our last words. Do you guys have anything else to say about this, or do you feel like you've covered it?
I'd like to see it again, just to kind of evaluate it from a different perspective, from different eyes. But I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I took my wife to it. It was the first movie we've been to in a while, so I thought it was fun. And I just felt like, from a writing storytelling perspective, it just was not high quality.
Steve,
entertainment,
oh,
great. No, entertainment, fun. Excellence level, low.
Steve,
I'm just gonna say, Iron Man, Iron Man, does whatever an iron can. Flattens clothes. That's about it.
Steve, are you eating a cookie right now?
I was.
Yeah, I could tell.
Not right now, though. Why did you interrupt my song?
Because it's time to move on. as for me, yeah, I enjoyed it. I did think it was fun. I want to watch Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and The Avengers, and then Iron Man 3 in a row, and just see how does it hold up. Because I remember I was so impressed with The Amazing Spider-Man. I really enjoyed that movie. I have no desire to see it again.
I've not seen it yet, so don't tell me.
Oh, no, I think you'll enjoy it, but I have no desire to ever see it again. And, you know, meanwhile, this one, man, I was pumped when I was watching this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. And the end credits, like an 80s TV action show, I mean, it was great. It was great.
I like the absolute very last scene with Doc Banner.
Yeah, that was great.
I know a lot of people were disappointed about that because it had no heft to it. It was not, there's no oomph.
It was just funny.
It was just hilarious. Yeah. It was just funny.
It was really
better
funny
than the shawarma thing. Come on.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
All right. Well, that's that then. You guys want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, let me know. I'd like to know if your views change after you watch them all straight through, because I would be surprised if it didn't change a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think I'm open to changing. You know, my views on Avatar changed. My views on The Amazing Spider-Man. I have no desire to see that movie at all again.
Wow.
I'll watch the sequel, you know, but I just don't feel like watching that one again.
Yeah.
So, and I was really praising it pretty highly when I saw it. So, all right. Well,
all right, guys.
That's that. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. And this was our episode 1 of the summer movie series. We'll see you next time with, I think, Star Trek. Is that what's next?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, Star Trek. Star Trek is my top list to see.
So until then, live long and prosper, and Godspeed. Thanks for listening to the Strangers and Aliens summer movie series. You can email us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-804-37-ALIEN. That's 1-804-372-5436. We'd love to hear from you. You can also go to our website, strangersandaliens.com, leave a comment on the blog, or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/strangersandaliens. We're also on Twitter, Strange and Alien. Check us out.